Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them." In a few minutes, Jim is going to call us all to the observance of a holy Lent by renewing our spiritual practices, particularly self-examination, repentance, fasting, prayer, almsgiving, reading the scriptures, and so on. In the early 1980s, the Society of St. John the Evangelist, which is an order of Episcopal monks, opened a satellite house for a number of years in Durham, North Carolina. And the leader of that group was a man called Paul Wessinger, who died a couple of years ago, but was gracious enough to consent to be my spiritual director for a few years. And he gave me an enormous gift one day. I was whining, as I was wont to do, about how boring my prayers were, and how tiresome, and how I wanted to fall asleep, and on and on. And he listened politely for a while, and then he interrupted. He said, "Jeffrey, you're looking for the effects of your prayer in your prayer. You need to look for the effects of your prayer in your life." And he was absolutely spot on. I was praying in order to have some kind of experience. I wanted a powerful experience of God, and I wasn't getting it, and I was bored. I wanted some sense of intimacy with the divine. I wanted to know God's grace. And he said, "You're looking for the effects of your practice in the practice. The practice is not the point. Life, abundant life, is the point. Look for the effects of your prayer. Look for the effects of your spiritual practice. Not in the practice itself, but in your life." Makes complete sense. Don't go about making the practice the point, like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and at the street corners, because they've already got their reward if the practice is all it is. Look instead to the grace being made manifest in your life as you engage the practices. In weeks and months to come, we will talk about what I believe to be the core practices of Christian community. Practice of a daily act of service, by which we develop the hearts of servants and remember and discover anew that it is in serving that we are freed. The practice of generosity, an antidote to anxiety, and a reminder that it is in giving that we receive. And perhaps preeminently, the practice of worship, what we're doing here, worship, turning or being turned, for the Greek scholars, metanoia, turning toward what really matters, toward what is of ultimate worth. And we do that in our tradition by telling and enacting the story in particular ways around the table. And over time, we will find ourselves not only living more graciously and courageously and freely and hopefully and lovingly, but we will also find the truth that in dying to ourselves, we start to know abundant life. So we remember today, solemn fast in our tradition. We focus on that part of the story that is particularly addressing our own sinfulness. And at root, that means addressing the reality that we are mortal, addressing our own mortality. It's not so much about accounting for our moral wrongdoings, making lists of what we've done wrong, although that's not a terrible thing. It's much more about how we've come to accept things in ourselves or in the world, states of being that are soul-destroying and deathly rather than life-giving and freeing and liberating for us and for all whom God hath made. Today we recall and are called back to the renewing of the practices that are the response of the faithful to sin down the centuries. Those who desire imposition of ashes will come forward for a strong and visceral reminder of our own mortality. Remember, you are dust, and to dust inevitably you will return. You are reminded, we are reminded, of the consequence of all that is deathly in life. But most particularly, we are reminded that we are not God. We are not immortal. We are not going to live forever except by grace. And we'll beg forgiveness in litany and psalmody. And then once again, as the forgiven community, the first fruits of God's new creation, we will stand being raised to the new life of grace, just as we were at our baptisms, just as we are every time absolution is pronounced in the church, we are raised. And we are raised to this new community marked first by peace. Peace with justice. Peace which passeth understanding, which is the very presence of God in our midst. So we remember the old story again, and then we return to the altar rail a second time. And this time for sustenance, for life-giving bread for the journey. This time we don't come to be reminded of our mortality so much, but to be reminded of the extraordinary grace that makes for all life. And to remember that all life is a gift of the love that made every one of us for love. That's the point. The abundant life that makes for courage and hope and love and risk and learning and growing and stretching. In weeks to come, in Lent, we will begin each service with contrition and confession, not so that we feel gloomy or bad, but rather in order to remember that all that we are and all that we have, life itself, is dependent on God's grace, a profound gift of love. What effect of our practice, done not to be seen by others, but as part of our response to that grace we celebrate, what effect of that practice might we know in the days and weeks and years to come? That is for us to discover rather than predict, but I expect that in many and varied ways we will each find ourselves slowly becoming more the people we were actually created to be as we are faithful in our practice. Some of you may have heard before the old story by Max Beerbohm. Max Beerbohm wrote a story of the happy hypocrite. And the short version is that this ruffian, this young vagabond, this terrible criminal person fell in love with a saintly woman. And in order to woo her, he donned the mask of a saint and started pretending to be something he wasn't. And he wooed her successfully, and they wed and married. And a few years later, his friends from the old days thought he was a terrible fraud who was destroying this woman's life by pretending to be something he wasn't. And they went and they ripped the mask off, and you guessed it, his face had conformed to the face of a saint. Now, we might or might not be given powerful experiences of God's grace along the way. But we will usually recognize grace with hindsight, perceiving how we've grown as the effect of our spiritual practice as part of our response to the gospel. I offer this Ash Wednesday in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.